Welcome to ChatGPT Curious, a podcast for people who are, well, curious about ChatGPT. I'm your host, Dr. Shantae Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what ChatGPT actually is.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use it, and what it might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, 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 my curious people, and welcome to episode 18 of ChatGPT Curious. I am your grateful host, The Maestro, and today we are talking about NVIDIA. So I'm not going to assume that you know what NVIDIA is, and not because when you assume you make an asset of you and me, but because I was chatting with Lex earlier when I was researching this episode, and I was telling her how stoked I was that we can learn so much for free, right? Between ChatGPT, which you can use for free, and YouTube, like you can fucking learn all the things. And so she asked what I was learning about, and I mentioned this term CUDA, which we'll talk about later. And then I said, I'm learning about this because next week's episode is going to be about NVIDIA. And she said, what's that? So I have already once made an ass out of myself by assuming with her. So I'm not going to assume that you know what it is. I'm not going to make an ass out of myself again. And I will not assume that you know what NVIDIA is. But I am going to guess that you're curious, which is why you're listening to this podcast. It's why you're listening to this episode. And I'm going to learn you some shit because it's nice to be in the know about things. So NVIDIA has become a very integral company in this AI madness and in this economy. I've talked before about the circular deals, and last episode was all about, will ChatGPT or OpenAI get Old Navy? And we got into, you know, some economics and such. And I just think you should know about this company. Doesn't mean you got to buy any stocks or change your life in any way, shape, or form. I just think it's nice to be an informed consumer. So let's get into it. So NVIDIA, that is spelled N-V-I-D-I-A. You'll see it in all caps, NVIDIA. NVIDIA Corporation, it's an American tech company famous for designing. And that's huge. They design, they don't actually manufacture them. They outsource the manufacturing, but they design the chips. We've heard this word, chips. What does that mean? What is that? I'm going to talk about that. They design these chips that are more formally known as graphics processing units or GPUs. And these chips, they are integral. I had a weird way of saying that. They're integral for running basically all of the AI models out there, right? All of the big players that we know and love and use, they be running on NVIDIA chips. So circling back to what I said a few minutes ago about them being a big, you know, economic stock market player, like they are big in this AI madness and in this economy, huge, right? NVIDIA is part of what's referred to as the magnificent, what's wrong with me? I just had a stroke. The Magnificent Seven. We're not editing that. We're leaving it in because that's life. The Magnificent Seven. These are the seven most influential tech companies in the U.S. That's going to be Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, which is Google, Meta, NVIDIA, and motherfucking Tesla. Fuck that guy. All right. The stock performance of these seven companies has literally disproportionately moved the entire stock market, particularly during this AI boom. And I said it last time, like, AI, we are due for an AI bubble. Actually, in the episode, I said, are we in an AI bubble? I talked about this. Yes, we are. We are due for a bubble bursting at some point. I hope we won't see an AI bailout, but do not be surprised if we see the great AI bailout of 2026. But these stocks, they are propping up the U.S. stock market. They are propping up the U.S. economy. And so this is why I'm like, I just want you to know about it, right? I just want you to be in the know. And no, this is not a finance podcast. I'm not telling you to go buy shares of anything. But we are curious people, and I do not think it's ever a bad thing to be informed consumers. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about NVIDIA, a little background. NVIDIA, was founded in 1993 in Santa Clara, California, by three dudes: Jensen Huang, Chris Malachowski. I don't know. I'm sorry, Chris, if you're listening to this podcast and I butcher your name. I'm sorry. And Curtis Priam. Right. The company made graphics cards for gaming PCs. Okay? Very simple. They're making the graphics cards. This is 1993. It's been a minute. Why did they choose the name NVIDIA? I think this is interesting, right? So when the three guys were founding the company, they used the placeholder NV, right? The two letters NV, like Nevada, right? NV, it was short for next version or next vision. As they got closer to the launch, they wanted something that incorporated this NV because it was already like on a lot of the internal files and such that they had. So someone, I don't know which were the partners, but one of them landed on the Latin word NVIDIA, which means envy. Insert eye roll, envy meaning E-N-V-Y. And so they dropped the I, and the rest was history. That name has stuck. So that's the background on, you know, where the name came from. It was founded, what it originally did. It made graphics cards for PCs, right, for gaming. Why are we hearing about NVIDIA so much? If you are hearing about it, if you are at all like listening to any kind of news around AI, then you've heard this term before. You've heard this name before. So why are we hearing about it so much? And why are they such a big deal? So like I said before, NVIDIA designs the chips, right? And chips are more formally called GPUs. That's a graphics processing unit. Like I said earlier, NVIDIA started out by making graphics cards for gaming, right, for video games on PCs. And their initial goal in 1999 was to create chips that were capable of 3D graphics. Because at the time, all that you had was 2D graphics. I mean, we can think back. I can think back to when we were younger and our home PCs. We only had one at home, right? Not everybody had a computer, right? Different times. And you are playing games and they flat as fuck, right? So their goal was to create game graphics cards that would allow for 3D graphics. So the company started in 93. Right? 6 years later, in 1999, they succeeded. So we can think back to having these computers and be like, oh, you know, the games are coming. There were some things that we didn't remember at the time. I think we had like a compact Presario, right? And I mean, there was this like flying game that I could never get past like 1 second of it. But I was like, man, it's like so realistic, right? This is NVIDIA doing this stuff. In 1999, 6 years after the company started on its mission, they succeeded and they released the GeForce 256. And they officially coined the term GPU, Graphics Processing Unit. This chip, or that chip, I should say, the GeForce 256, that is the direct ancestor of the GPUs that are used today to run ChatGPT. Okay? So the summary so far. 1999, NVIDIA, they made the chips. That was the first time they called it GPUs. And they were for 3D graphics in video games. Around 2005, 2006, researchers outside of the gaming world started to notice something. They were like, yo, the math that's used for these 3D graphics, it's identical to the math used in early neural networks and physics simulations. Neural networks, we're going to use that colloquially and synonymously with LLMs. That's what an LLM is. It's a neural network, right? And ChatGPT is a type of LLM, large language model, right? So 2005, 2006, these guys are like, yo, the math is the same. The math is mathing. Math that's used in the gaming world for these 3D graphics, it's the same as the math that's used in these neural networks. And so they thought to themselves, if we could run these mathematical operations on a GPU, on that graphics card, instead of what they were doing it on traditionally, which is a CPU, right, which we've heard this term before, perhaps. It doesn't really matter for the context of this episode, but they were like, if we can run it on a GPU instead of a CPU, it will be so much faster. And so that's where what they did. So this is where NVIDIA came in and solidified their future with AI. Not only did they make these GPUs, they were the only company doing it, making these chips, right, that could do these crazy math, that would allow for these crazy mathematical computations. In 2006, they released what was called CUDA, C-U-D-A, that stands for Compute Unified Device Architecture. CUDA is a proprietary programming framework, and that is what made it actually possible to run these massively complex computations, including what we'll call AI math, on the GPUs. All right, because before then, it was just like, hey, 2005, 2006, they're like, hey, this math is the same, but we don't know how to do it on this chip. But we know that if we could figure out how to actually do that and put the files in the computer, then this would be way fucking faster. And that's what CUDA allowed for. And that, like, just to reiterate, was designed, this programming framework, that was designed by NVIDIA. So not only do they have the hardware, which is the chips, they now have the software. Okay. So for any historians in the audience that like dates, I fucking hate dates, but if you like the dates, here you go. This approach of using GPUs, more specifically NVIDIA's GPUs or NVIDIA's chips for this AI math, is what we're going to call it, that didn't actually take off until 2012, another 6 years later, right? 2006, they developed the actual software, if you will, to be able to do it. 2012, it actually gets implemented and tried, and it wins a competition, an image classifying competition. Feel free to chat GPT the term AlexNet if you're interested in learning more. But the moment that AlexNet succeeded, NVIDIA became the default for the chips that would be used for AI. It was solidified. It was like, yo, it's NVIDIA or it's NVIDIA. Is it. Because not only, again, did they have the chips, they had the software that allowed for it, right? They were the only company already building the hardware and the software ecosystem that would allow this to be able to be scaled, right? So from that point forward, 2012, from that point forward, every single major breakthrough in what we'll call AI math, because AI is just math, from GPT-1 to ChatGPT-5, what we're using now, has run on these NVIDIA chips, these NVIDIA GPUs, right? These graphics processing units, okay? Which is like just, they are, you know, monopolized here. So translation, why are we hearing about them so much? Why are they such a big deal, NVIDIA? Because NVIDIA designs the chips that all the big AI players, excluding Google, use to run their AI models. Google has its own proprietary system that runs on what they call TPUs, their tensor process, that stands for tensor processing units. But worth noting, Google still does use NVIDIA chips for some tasks, right? So NVIDIA is just, it's everywhere. All of the major AI companies are using it to run their program. So just how big of a deal is NVIDIA? Well, it is valued, friends. Its market cap is $4.7 trillion. They have 92% of the discrete GPU market. The discrete GPU market, meaning the kind of GPUs that are used for data centers and high performance computing, right? They own 92% of that market. That's insane. They own the whole fucking thing, right? For the nerds who care, their main chip, and it's one of the most advanced chips ever made, is the H100. Each of these chips can cost anywhere from $25,000 to $40,000. What? NVIDIA will package these into what they call the DGX H100 systems. And these are racks that contain eight of these chips linked together. That's $320,000 on the high end for one DGX system. Now, here's where the numbers get crazy. Companies like OpenAI and Meta, they will buy and use thousands to tens of thousands of these DGX units, right? And one DGX unit we said on the high end is $320,000. Thousands, so that's like 1,500, 2,500 of these things, to tens of thousands of these DGX units. We see this is stupid money, folks, stupid money. So if you want to see what the units look like, so when I was in the research for this, this is the way my brain works. Like I have to do a deep dive and I have to like see these. I like really don't understand. I'm like, chips? It's like potato chips. Like when you hear chips, you're like, potato chips? And then you're like, clearly it's not a fucking potato chip. But then you kind of think about like a memory card. In my mind, I'm like, is it like a memory card size? No, these things are fucking big, right? They are big. Like you'll see, it looks like a brick, right? That's one of the H100 systems. And then there's eight of those linked together. And it's like in this like big metal container kind of thing. So if you want to see what it looks like, just to like help your brain understand that this is what it's making, I will link two YouTube videos that I watched that I thought were really helpful. The first one is just going to be like a little short overview of this DGX H100 system. And then the second one, which I thought was pretty interesting, is a walkthrough of a data center where all of these things are housed. So you can see they have it kind of linked together. And just like, for me, it helps having a visual, okay? So next part, and we're almost done here. It's a shorter episode and I'm mad about it. Next part, can anyone catch up, right? NVIDIA, we see like this is just insane money, almost $5 million value, $5 trillion valuation, 92% market share. Like, can anyone catch up? Worth noting, it's not the hardware. It's not just the GPUs, the chips, but rather the software, that CUDA, that we spoke about before, that really protects their foothold, right? CUDA is what the global AI ecosystem runs on. And switching to something like Google's TPUs would be expensive, it would be time consuming because of the software that's needed, right? So the best analogy that I could come up with would be like switching from NVIDIA's CUDA ecosystem to something like Google's TPU system. It wouldn't just be like, oh, just like swap the GPUs out and put the TPUs in. You can't do that. It's a completely different system. It would be like trying to turn every single gasoline car that we have into an electric vehicle overnight. And then on top of that, even if we could do that, right, the infrastructure around it, like the gas stations, the mechanics that exists, the parts that we have, the spare parts, they are all built for gasoline cars, internal combustion engines. This is the same thing for AI, right? The worlds, the way that it's set up, the world's AI, the code, the workflows, they are built around NVIDIA's GPUs and CUDA. So moving to TPUs would require just like a complete overhaul of everything. Clearly not impossible, but like it is definitely not happening anytime soon. All right, so NVIDIA going to stay on top for a bit. So in summary, I know I said a lot of acronyms and things like that, but like y'all are really fucking smart and I'm grateful that you listen and I'm grateful that you, even if some of it you're like, what the fuck? I know you're still here and I'm grateful for that. So to summarize, NVIDIA is a company that is 100,000,000% absolutely integral to AI. They design the chips, right? They don't make them. They outsource the manufacturing. They design the chips that nearly all of these AI companies use to run their models. The company is worth a lot of money. They're making a lot of money and they likely will not be replaced anytime soon because of both the hardware, the GPUs, graphics processing units, and the software CUDA that they designed. Okay, so hopefully now, if and when you hear the name NVIDIA, the word NVIDIA, you got a pretty solid understanding of who that is, the chip designers, what they do and why they are so important. Okay, real quick, how I use ChatGPT this week, and then we'll wrap it up. So each episode, in case you don't know, I include a section where I briefly discuss how I use ChatGPT this week. This time, it's not about how I use it. I'm sharing a use case that my friend Corin shared with me by way of Instagram Reel. I will link that in the show notes. So the reel she sent me was of a guy named Chris McCausland. I could be butchering that name. I'm sorry if I am. I don't know. But he is a British stand-up comedian, actor, and TV personality. He has a hereditary eye condition called retinitis pigmentosa, which gradually leads to the loss of vision. And in his case, it has led to the loss, full loss of his vision. So the reel is of a clip from the Graham Norton show where Chris, so Graham Norton is holding up a book and he's like showing, it's like a picture book. And then he's like, I realize, Chris, that I'm holding up this book of pictures and you can't fucking see it. What's going on? He's like, but you have said in the past that you use AI. And Chris went on to explain how he uses AI to describe pictures, to describe drawings that his daughter did, to describe photos. And this is probably the coolest part, is he goes, it will describe it to him, and this is verbatim, with so much more patience than any human. That is a super, super fucking cool use case, right? I think a lot of the shit that AI is being used for these days is exactly that. It's shit. It's trash. It's garbage. It's nonsense. It's a waste. But I also think it is a remarkable technology with so much promise, so much potential, so much value. And what Chris shared is a perfect example of that. So Corin, if you're listening, thank you for sharing that. And the rest of you, that is all for today. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you did, how about you consider leaving a rating or review? I just like looking at them. I would say that it helps people find the show, but like, I don't actually know if that's true. So I don't want to lie. I just like reading them, and this is a very unidirectional thing. I'm just talking to the screen. Nobody's here with me. Rupert's here with me, my cat, for those of you who don't know, but that's it. So I like reading the reviews. It lets me know that you're listening, that it's helpful, that you're enjoying it. So consider leaving a little rating, a little 5 stars or a review, whatever tickles your fancy. Right? Do not forget as well, I have a companion newsletter, The Curious Companion, that drops every Thursday along with the episode. That is basically the podcast episode in text format. So if you prefer to read or you want a written record of the episodes, join the newsletter fam. You can head to chatgptcurious.com/newsletter, or you can check out the link in the show notes. I got you either way. All right? All right. As always, my friends, endlessly, endlessly, one more time, endlessly appreciative for every single one of you. Until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.